I would say for us, it really comes down to how much it's drifting, and we're kind of more in that semi-annual to annual rebalancing.
Welcome to the All Things Retirement Podcast with certified financial planner, Anthony Alfo. Here's your host, Ben George.
Well, hello, welcome back into All Things Retirement. I'm Ben George, along with Anthony Alfo, certified financial planner and founder of the Cardinal Wealth Group, and got a good show for you today. We're talking about rebalancing your portfolio, when and how. We know we should be rebalancing, or you probably heard that before. Hey, you should be rebalancing your portfolio, but what does that actually mean? We're going to get into that today with Anthony. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Ben. Thanks for having me. I know the recording of this is a little bit after Easter, but had a pretty fun time being a 6-foot bunny, scaring some of the kids in the neighborhood. I didn't realize how petrified, actually, in some ways, the Easter bunny can appear to a child. But we had about, I think, 15 or 17 kids over running around. I think we laid out about 200 eggs, and I went upstairs and put on this costume, and I came out, and I think 4 of the kids ran into the house. And then the older kids could care less. They were just really into the greed of getting all, finding the golden egg. And yeah, you know, and then really just came down to my kids and like 2 others who really cared to see the Easter Bunny. So it was an interesting time, but it was fun all in all.
That's funny. Are you going to bring that costume out every year, or are you going to retire it now?
We'll see. I mean, mine are, you know, going to be 4 and 2, so certainly have some more time for that we could bring it back out. So it really is not my decision at the end of the day. I don't think I would have chose to do it. So we'll see what the boss has in store next year.
Are you going to wear a Santa costume this year too?
No. Got to draw a line somewhere, or, you know, I can only perform so many things. So we have a great photo of Margo, our youngest. We go down to Cape May for Breakfast with Santa. It's a good event. And we had both of them sitting on Santa's lap, and Margo had both fingers up her nose, would not let them go. So it ends up maybe being probably this year's Christmas card, I think.
That's funny.
It was a good one.
Yeah. Well, very good. We got a good show for you today. As I mentioned, we're going to talk about how and when to rebalance your portfolio. If you're unsure how to do it, we're going to really talk about the importance of why you need to be doing it and discuss everything from frequency to tax implications and much more as well. If you have questions for Anthony, get in touch with the Cardinal Wealth Group. You can do so at cardinalwg.com or over the phone at 609-362-5512. And when you log on online, make sure you also start your Cardinal Success Journey. It's a free assessment you can begin right now. Just log on again, cardinalwg.com. You'll see it right there on the front of the website. All right, jumping into rebalancing. So we've heard about it. Anybody that's, you know, put together or paid any attention to their portfolio has heard, hey, you need to be rebalancing. So let's just explain what that even means and why it's important first.
Yeah. Now, basically, I think at the end of the day, with regards to you set up a portfolio to kind of match to your long-term goals or to kind of achieve a certain risk reward profile, more stock percentage in there that tends to have a little bit higher potential for a return and certainly from a little bit higher risk. So once you kind of identify that right target, and let's just say 60% stock, 40% bonds, over time it can drift from that 60-40 asset allocation that you're intending for. And so let's just say maybe performance was not good on the stock side, and next thing you know, it could be 50% stock, 50% bonds because of the performance factor. And that kind of now has become a little bit too conservative. And now it would kind of make sense, you know, for you to now sell some of the bonds and buy more stock to get it back to that 60-40 asset allocation that you intended. So really, it's really to maintain that the proper risk reward or investment strategy based off of the goal at hand.
Okay. So then how often should we be thinking about rebalancing? Or I guess maybe more importantly, you know, how do you even know when to rebalance it? Just tracking those numbers and when you get off that ratio, that percentage that you have in mind?
It's a good question. I don't know that there's an exact one correct answer. It can depend on the type of strategy. There's certainly strategies out there that are constantly rebalancing more frequently, and there's other ones that are what we'll say more passive and let it kind of drift a little bit longer. Also, you know, what type of account is it? Is it a retirement type of account versus, say, a non-retirement account? A non-retirement account could have tax implications. So when you buy and sell, you could create taxable events. So I think some of that plays a role in it. But overall, I would say that certainly daily or weekly is probably a bit much. And here I would say that we are looking at it more so on a quarterly basis, but generally more in favor of semi or annual rebalancing generally. I don't mind like a little bit of drift, especially if the market's going up. There's some tendency for maybe some momentum to kick in, the market to kind of continuously go up once it kind of gets going. And if that kind of drifts a little bit outside, I'm okay with some drift. We also have, to your point, not just that time factor of monthly or quarterly or semi-annual. We have also settings there where we get alerts when it drifts more than 5% in either direction. So if you have a 60% stock account with us, we get notified when it goes to 65% or 55% in really either direction by 5%. So, you know, we're certainly aware of it at that point, and it just depends if it makes sense and what type of account and what the overall strategy is. You'll find different fund managers have different drift. That's kind of the word, how much it drifts from the target allocation. They have different parameters or settings there in terms of when they plan to adjust it. And, you know, just being aware that at times rebalancing can create additional cost. And again, with the non-retirement or trust account, it can create taxes. So you really want to, you kind of have a couple extra variables to think through when it comes to those types of accounts, because you certainly don't want to create unnecessary taxes or costs there. So I would say for us, it really comes down to how much it's drifting, and we're kind of more in that semi-annual to annual rebalancing.
Okay. Well, I know we talk about investing, you know, depending on what age you are, you're going to invest differently, right? You have more tolerance for risk when you're younger, typically, than you do when you're older. Does that change the way you rebalance things? I mean, do you have a little bit more room for drift when you're younger versus maybe when you're older?
Yeah, I think so to some degree, for sure, especially if you're super young, 20, 30 years old, and you have a lot, and it's retirement money, so it's, you know, long-term money. I think you can let it drift a little bit more. But I think really the bigger difference from somebody that's, say, older or we'll say closer to retirement is that they're starting to take distributions. And whereas somebody, say, who's younger or not retiring anytime soon, they're just accumulating and adding money into the account. With distributions, then you have to start to think about, okay, well, where's that money coming from the portfolio? Naturally, that will offset or change the allocation, the intended allocation over time. So basically what we're doing is just matching up the cash flow that's needed from the portfolio ahead of time, and basically knowing where that needs to come from and kind of offsetting it from the start. So we might have maybe a little bit more cash, or we might have dividends and interest turned on and not being reinvested. And in that case, we might actually let it kind of go beyond semi-annually and maybe closer to 9 to 12 months before we're kind of rebalancing, you know, when they're taking out distributions and things like that. So it's just really another variable that kind of can affect the rebalancing schedule there, especially if we need a certain amount of cash where they're getting a monthly distribution from the portfolio.
All right, good information here as we talk about rebalancing the portfolio. Are there investment vehicles or tools? I know there's the robo advisors out there right now that you could use to maybe rebalance automatically. Is that something that you typically do or recommend?
Yeah, I think it depends on the individual. If you're kind of a do-it-yourselfer, not working with an advisor, obviously you can do the rebalancing on your own just by kind of going online, looking at the allocation. You can certainly invest in mutual funds that have a certain asset allocation already embedded in it, and they will probably rebalance that on a certain periodic basis, or depending on how, you know, drift. And it'll typically be right in the description of the fund in terms of how much asset allocation that they're going to maintain and how often that they're going to adjust it. And robos are a good example of that, that they're going to do that automatically. I think you would just have to look at which robo, but they're pretty much all going to do that for you. And really one less thing for the do-it-yourselfer to generally have to deal with. With regards to working with an advisor such as us, I mean, we have software and we also have third-party managers that really handle that. And so we basically customize it to what the situation is, the type of account, what's really needed. So, I mean, there's certainly a lot of options out there. It doesn't have to be complex for the individual to kind of do on their own. I think it's just really navigating some of those other variables such as cost or taxes when it could play a role in it that can make it maybe a little bit more complicated.
Well, as always, whenever you're making any investment decisions, you got to weigh the impact of taxes. So when you look at rebalancing, there any tax implications that people need to consider when rebalancing, or and does that play a heavy factor in when and how much you should rebalance?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, if you have an IRA or Roth or 401k, that type of account, you can kind of just, you know, put the tax question to the side when it comes to rebalancing, because it's just, it's not like you're taking a distribution in that example. You're just kind of changing, you know, one fund to another. And so you don't have to deal with it. But when it comes to taxable accounts, non-retirement, trust accounts, something like that, you certainly want to take it into consideration. And really, when you're rebalancing, you're going to sell something and buy something else, which can create a short-term or long-term gain or loss. And so when you are considering whether to rebalance now, you kind of need to look at and understand what that action is going to do. And so if you are going to sell something that's going to create a gain, if it's a short-term gain, it can have a higher tax rate versus a long-term gain. So typically what a short-term gain, hopefully maybe you have something that you're selling that could maybe help offset it, possibly with a loss that you were planning to rebalance out of anyway to mitigate some of that taxable event. Again, if you're selling something at a short-term gain, you're still making money. So there's worse things than you know, paying some taxes on gains. But generally, you're trying to avoid losing money to taxes when you can. And if it's a short-term, you'd rather get it to a long-term capital gain because it generally has a better tax rate for the individual. So for me, I think a lot of times it's going to just be something that will not do as much maybe rebalancing on a month-to-month, quarterly basis, even if there's some drift there. If it gets really out of whack, then it may make sense because obviously having the right risk profile for the long-term goals is really important too. But if it's something where, you know, from a timing aspect, we can push it out a little bit longer and get it to more of a long-term risk or have something to offset that with, then we'll try to, you know, push that out a little bit longer just to kind of save from the tax loss there.
All right. Well, I think it's always helpful to maybe share a firsthand account of, you know, you doing this at Cardinal Wealth Group or how you've helped someone or what that process has looked like. So can you think of someone whose portfolio had gone way too long without being rebalanced and kind of why that have happened and what why it did happen and some of the ramifications for it?
Well, I can think of an example of somebody that before we met them, where they kind of let it go. I had met somebody that, you know, had a 401k in their company and with their company and a ton of it was in company stock. They were getting matches in company stock. They were also buying company stock with their 401k deferrals. And basically, their stock really ran up during a certain period of time where it went up to $1 million. And unfortunately, that stock crashed. It nosedived. And when we met them, he had told me the story, you know, was up over $1 million. And it basically, by the time I met him, was around $100,000. So, you know, that story is, you know, I think a little bit of more of an over concentration of one asset within the portfolio. But also, I think, you know, over time, that should have been rebalanced as to diversify that into other asset classes. And probably if a stock has that run up over time, naturally, that's going to tilt more towards maybe a more aggressive asset allocation that was intended. And by rebalancing, you know, bring it back down to that target risk level. I guess at the end of the day with them, it maybe could have been some greed, maybe some unawareness of the potential risk implications, and maybe just some lack of advice, perhaps. I mean, he did not have an advisor at the time. So, you know, maybe that was part of it. So that's one of the, and there's been a couple other stories like that with concentrated in company stock without really ever rebalancing it that I've come across before, but that's kind of what comes to mind.
All right. Well, some good information here on rebalancing and why it's so important and really how to kind of go about that process. But again, you want to work with someone that can help walk you through this to make sure you're dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's as you go through your rebalance. And if you have questions for Anthony, best thing to do is log on cardinalwg.com. You can start your Cardinal Success journey right now. Get your free assessment right there on the website. If you prefer to call, you can always do that at 609-362-5512. A couple questions for you today for this episode, Anthony. I wanted to run by you, and I want to begin with one from Derek. It says, with the current inflationary pressures in the economy, what steps can I take to protect my savings and investments from losing value?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're looking at certain investments, stock funds, real estate funds, and commodities kind of come to mind with being kind of an inflation hedge. I think the ones that really get beat up the most from inflation are bond funds and cash and CDs and things of that nature. They kind of can die slowly. It might be nice to see the money markets today getting 4%, but you're still losing to inflation. Whereas stocks and real estate funds kind of have that dividend and some of that already kind of built in inflation as stock values will increase over time. It's a kind of a natural hedge. And then the dividend on top of that can grow over time. So those are some natural hedges, and commodities are obviously another one that can work in your favor when it comes to inflation. I still think that you want to kind of have a plan to match up to the right strategy while factoring inflation. There's certainly other risks that you might want to consider along the way when developing that investment strategy and not just kind of switch to whatever's the most pressing on your mind today.
Well, good question, Derek. I know a lot of people probably are feeling that more and more as inflation continues to linger. So we appreciate you reaching out with that question. Toby's next up. I'm retiring in about 5 years, and I'm currently maxing out my 401k, but not adding any other savings. Should I be saving anywhere else, even if that means putting less in my 401k?
Well, that's a good question. I would say that if you are getting free money as a match from your company, I in most cases, I'd say let's take the free money. But within your 401k and with some of the tax law changes, now you might have a Roth 401k option. So from that standpoint, I'd probably look at and see what your current tax rate is today. And with retirement around the corner, maybe do a projection of what your tax rate will be in retirement. And that would maybe help to determine if it makes more sense to save into the pre-tax side of the 401k or utilize the Roth 401k or somewhere between the two of them. And if there's extra money, certainly no one went broke saving more. So if you can save more, I would certainly do it. Really probably comes down to some of the other financial variables within your life, income, marital status, working spouse, non-working spouse, some of those types of things that really just kind of putting together a financial analysis or plan would help you determine if there's extra money to save, where it would be best saved given some of the short and long-term goals that you have coming up with retirement.
Great. Thanks for that question, Toby. If you have one for us, send it in. Just go to the website, cardinalwg.com. You can contact Anthony and the team just by hitting that contact us button at the very top of the page. You'll find it right there. But of course, get your free assessment and start that Cardinal success journey today. You'll find a lot of great information on Anthony's site beyond the podcast. So check it out after the show when you get a chance to learn more. Anthony, as always, thanks for the time today. We appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Ben. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to All Things Retirement. For Anthony Alfo over at the Cardinal Wealth Group, I am Ben George. Take care.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.